Okay, welcome everybody. It's Sunday, December 18th, 2005. This is the Pacifica National Board Governance Committee meeting. My name's Dave Adelson. I'm the chair. R. Paul Martin is the secretary. R. Paul, can you call the roll, please?
Yep. Okay. Okay, Grace Aaron?
Here.
David Adelson?
Here.
Mary Berg?
Here.
Max Blasche? Lydia Brazon?
Here.
Marty Derwin? Jane Gatewood? Bob Lederer? R. Paul Martin? Here. Darv Rundawa? Sandra Rolline?
Here.
Doreen Roberts? Rob Robinson? Deb Shafto?
Here.
Hashim Takash?
Here.
Ted Weisgull.
Here.
Okay, we have 9.
Okay. Quorum for this committee is 9 because we have an affiliate director in addition to, who is Marty Derwin, in addition to the LSB and PMB members. And so the first item is the approval of the agenda. Actually, before we do that, just a note on membership. At the Houston PNB meeting, Teresa Allen resigned from this committee as a PNB member, and Deb Shafto, who had been an LSB representative on this committee but had been elected to the PNB, was elected by the PNB to replace her. And I believe the Houston local station board held an election, and that election resulted in Ted Weisgall being elected to fill Deb's vacancy. Is that accurate? Can people from Houston let me know that?
We'll have to go over that later. That's not my recollection, but it's confusing because I think 2 people were elected by acclamation, so that left us with 4 representatives altogether. But
we don't have any provision for that. Should we add that question to our agenda?
Well, can we just leave it this way for now, and we'll settle it on a local level?
Why don't we add an item under new business on committee? Hold on a second. Committee membership. So governance committee membership. Okay. Membership. So I sent around a draft agenda just now. My apologies, with specific times. My apologies for not having done that sooner. And I'll read it. 10 minutes for the roll call and approval of the agenda. 5 minutes for the approval of minutes. Scheduling of the next meeting, 10 minutes. Then old business is the contracts policy, 30 minutes. Code of conduct, 15. Then new business, we have the Ken Freeland suspension, 30 minutes. Question regarding Susan Young's eligibility for LSB membership, 30 minutes. The governance committee membership, which I think we should spend 5 minutes on. And I got an email that there's still an issue regarding Paul D. Rienzo's membership and his voting rights for PNB representatives as a delegate, which I think we need to address. So the question is whether the DiRienzo issue is old business or new business. I would think it's new business.
Would you?
And I think we should put 15 minutes for that. Is there a motion to accept that agenda, and then we can make motions to amend?
Lydia, this is Lydia. Did you have the working group report in there?
The working groups are an old business. They are the contracts policy and the code of conduct. Does the bylaws convention working group have a report?
Yes.
Okay, before we do that, is there a motion to accept the agenda and then we'll amend it?
You
don't do it that way. Point of order?
Yeah, go ahead.
There's a motion on the floor to accept this agenda. So now people make motions to amend that agenda.
Right, I didn't hear anybody move to accept that agenda, so I was asking.
Member from Houston has moved to amend or to approve the agenda as it stated.
Okay, and now, so Lydia would like, Lydia, you want the bylaws working group added?
Yes.
Okay, and how much time?
Oh, 3 minutes.
Let's give it 5.
Okay, 5.
Okay. So then, other amendments?
Okay, we added what working group just now?
Bylaws working group. Bylaws convention working group.
For 5 minutes.
For 5 minutes after the code of conduct. And I'm going to send you this again as soon as we finish revising it.
So now do we move to accept the agenda?
Well, wait, is this acceptable to people?
Yeah.
Why don't I read this so we all know what we're...
Please do.
All right. The agenda as I have it is roll call and approval of agenda, 10 minutes. Approval of minutes, 5 minutes. Scheduling of next meeting, 10 minutes. Then we get old business, which is really should be unfinished business. Contracts policy, 30 minutes. Code of conduct, 15 minutes. There's an amendment to add bylaws working group for 5 minutes.
Bylaws convention working group.
Yeah. Bylaws convention working group. Okay. For 5 minutes. Then new business. Freeland suspension, 30 minutes. Question re Susan Young's eligibility for LSB membership, 30 minutes. Paul DiRienzo's eligibility to vote as a delegate, no time on that.
It was 15 minutes as I heard it.
15 minutes?
Yeah.
Oh.
Is that going to be adequate, or is this going to be another hornet's nest?
No, I thought you said 5. I'm sorry, but you said 15, huh, for DiRienzo? Okay. Is that correct?
But I have written down here, yeah.
All right. I'll defer to anybody today.
Hi, this is Bob Letterer.
Oh,
there you are. I can take you off this list of people I was emailing saying it's happening now.
Yeah, I'm really sorry I'm late.
All right. I mean, no, it isn't.
Do we have a quorum?
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, so...
Bob, are you at home to see his agenda, or do you need it read?
I'm sorry, I'm not at a computer, so I'll have to make do.
Dave, why don't we just send it out as it's amended so that he's up?
Yeah, I will. I'll ask, since I'll call the secretary, I'll ask him to do it.
I just meant read that, not, you know, read what we're up to so far.
This is Sandra. Was there not 5 minutes added to the new business to confirm or discuss the PNB Governance Committee membership?
Yeah.
Okay. Wait a minute. Where's that?
That was the first item added to new business was that. So that'd be...
Well, it's added after the Susan Young issue.
Okay, yeah, right.
And the next item was the Paul DiRienzo...
Yeah.
Membership.
Right.
Okay, so what's this other item about PNB membership?
It concerns the Houston delegation and who's on the committee from Houston.
Okay, so how do we want to call it? What do we want to... label that? What do we want to put
I called it Governance Committee Membership.
Yeah.
You might want to say, note, Houston delegation.
Point of information?
Yep.
Can someone explain what is this agenda item?
No, we're just approving the agenda.
Bob, so you know, Deb was elected to... Deb had been an LSB rep. She was elected to the PNB and then elected to replace Teresa, who resigned. There was some confusion about what the Houston LSB did in electing members, LSB reps, to the committee. They may have elected two people to replace one seat, and we're just going to discuss what the status of that is.
No, I'm sorry. I'm asking a different question. I said, what is the item about Paul DiRienzo?
Oh, I got an email from Patty Heffley saying that he's still on suspension and questioning whether he was going to be allowed to vote in the delegates election.
Okay.
How much time are we giving to governance committee membership?
5 minutes.
Five.
Okay, agenda acceptable to people?
I move that the agenda be accepted as amended.
I second.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, that's the agenda that's adopted. Paul, can you email that around, and can you also note the time at which we approve the agenda, because all times in the agenda will then be relative to that time?
Right.
Okay.
And also, can I ask that somebody be our timekeeper?
I'll volunteer to do that.
Okay, and will you please let us know 5 minutes before, with the exception of the five-minute items, 5 minutes before the item is over, because at that point we'll move to dispense with whatever business is before us.
Okay.
Is that okay?
I have 2:28 Houston time.
Okay, tack on 2 minutes, because we're going to fumble around for a second while we get this.
Okay, so 2:30 Houston time, the agenda was approved as amended.
Oh,
okay.
2:39.
It's by her clock if she's timekeeping. So.
Okay.
Okay. So the next thing on the agenda is the approval of minutes. R. Paul sent those around. Those are the minutes from the August 25th, 2005 meeting. Is there a motion to approve those?
I make a motion to approve.
Okay. Comments, amendments, objections, discussion?
I couldn't be here, so.
Okay, who just moved to approve the minutes?
Andrew.
Raw line. Okay, hearing no discussion, it will move to a vote. Is there any objection to approving the minutes distributed by R. Paul for August 25th, 2005?
None.
Okay, hearing no objection, they're adopted. The next thing on the agenda is the scheduling of the next meeting. We had such troubles with this one. And just for the record, the reason the first meeting, the meeting in October was canceled, the September meeting was canceled because it conflicted with what we thought was going to be the PMB meeting.
Yeah.
The October meeting was canceled because did it conflict with the actual PMB meeting?
No, it was right. It was a travel day on both. In September, we thought it would be a travel day, and
right.
In October, it was.
Right. Okay. And then in November, it conflicted with Thanksgiving holiday.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we have been so remiss, apart from my own irresponsibility, for which I apologize. when do people want to meet next?
Well, should
I would suggest this is Sandra. I would suggest sometime after the delegates have been elected from each of the boards, the local boards in January.
I'm sorry, this is Serene. Are we talking about canceling this meeting?
Oh, Serene. Huh?
No. We're scheduling the next meeting. I like doing it at the beginning because people drop off at the end.
Well, the composition won't necessarily be the same, but...
Right. I mean, basically, the PMB... If we do it after the PNB has been newly elected, there's a question, and maybe we need to address this at some point, of whether the committee has a membership during that interim period. No, that's not true. The PNB members are, even though they're elected, the prior PNB members continue until the new PNB members are actually seated at the meeting.
Right.
So there's no problem with composition. So I think that it might be useful to meet once more before the January board meeting
mm-hmm.
to finish up any hanging work, if we can do that. So do people have a recommendation? The calendar of meetings is at kpftx.org, PA calendar.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that the different LSBs have their days for meeting.
Well, what's happening on the third Thursday?
The third Thursday could conceivably... Hang on. Let me look. That could... Is the January PNB meeting set?
Yeah,
for the 27th.
Dave?
Yeah?
This is Lydia. I really think that, especially because we're streaming and so forth, I really think that we should do it by email. I know it seems cumbersome, but I think this is going to take, like, a lot of time. Not everyone is home to look at their calendars, et cetera. So I really, and to know what all the meetings are for this coming month, and some people don't have their January calendars up. So
given that we approved it in the agenda, if it's possible to do it, I'd like to do it. If it's not possible to do it in the time allotted, we'll do that. I'd at least like to get a recommended date from the people who are on the call.
This is my
And January, the third Thursday, which had been our habit, which is January the 19th, is fully a week before people would be traveling to the PNB meeting, and it's open right now.
Yeah, I was going to suggest that we make it that day.
Pardon me?
This is Mary Berg. I was going to say, when I wanted to get on the stack, I was going to suggest that we schedule it for that day, the third Thursday. That's what the day we said we were going to have our meetings.
Okay.
Are there any objections to that or alternatives?
Well, yeah, I would like to point out that we had agreed for last year, well, for this year, that we were doing it the fourth Thursday, but we could certainly make it the third Thursday. That would probably miss Thanksgiving.
I thought it was the third. I'm goofy.
No, we were doing the fourth.
I'm fine with the 19th. This is Sandra. However, that is my grandson's first birthday.
Well, you could invite him on. He could see how democracy and institutions work. It would be a great
education.
Believe
me, he's been to way too many LSB meetings and committee meetings already.
Oh, okay.
How could there ever be too many?
He should be a voting member.
yeah, he could be.
Is there any objection to the 19th? Mm-mm. Okay, let's put the 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern. I'll put it on the KPFTX calendar.
We were doing 7 Eastern.
Well,
I'm sorry, Serene, what?
Hadn't we been doing 7 Eastern?
Okay. I don't recall, but I'm happy to do it 7 Eastern.
Oh, we've been doing it 8.
Oh, have we? Okay.
Well, 7's fine. It's probably better.
Is 7 p.m. better for people?
7 p.m. Eastern?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
well,
that'd make it...
The West Coast people should answer that, because they're the ones who might be doing 9 to 5.
Yeah, for me it's better 8, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, it's better for me at 8, too, but I'm willing to do what's better for others.
If it can be 8 and it can be tight.
It doesn't really matter to me. 8's fine.
Is 8 okay with the East Coast folks?
It's okay by me.
What,
8? Is okay,
okay
by
so
me.
8 p.m. Eastern time on the 19th?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, and I'm putting it in.
Okay, Dave, that's... I have it here. You just made that motion, so why don't we all...
Okay, so if there's no objection, or is there an objection to 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Thursday, January 19th, for the next meeting? Okay, hearing none, it's adopted. I've just added it to the board meeting calendar at kpftx.org/PA calendar. Okay, so the next item on the agenda is the... what Paul properly calls unfinished business, and the first is contracts policy, 30 minutes. And the contracts, I convened the contracts working group. We met yesterday, Grace Aaron, Serene Roberts, and myself. I emailed around the draft language that came out of that meeting to everybody on the committee yesterday evening. So I think to start off, we might consider, I'd like to ask, is there a motion to accept that, and then we can discuss it.
Accept what?
A point of information.
Point of information?
Is Rob Robinson on this call?
No, I called his cell phone, I emailed him, and I left a message on his home phone.
I don't think he knows we're meeting. Okay.
I thought he did, but anyhow... I've left messages, and I hope he will be here. So Paul, you asked except what? What I'm asking, is there a motion to move that be our contracts policy? And then we can discuss it.
Point of order.
What?
This is Ed from Houston, and Dave, since I'm new on the committee, I'm not receiving your emails.
Okay, I'll email it to you right now. Are you where you can get it?
Yes, and there was some other email that you said you sent to the committee earlier. I didn't mention that, but that as well. I guess the agenda of today's meeting.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Dave?
Yeah?
So we're looking for an email that you sent with our contract policy?
Proposed
contract. Okay. When did you send it?
I'm going to, I sent it yesterday at about 6 p.m. Our time, and hang on a second. I'm sending this out to Ted right now.
You had a PS on one of them.
Hang on a second. I'll read it in just a moment as soon as I send this to Ted.
No, I've got it.
Okay. So is there a motion to accept that, and then we can deal with it?
Well, we should read it out to ourselves.
Okay, well, let me read it then. The draft language from that was... I've got things in three places now. Hold on just a moment. Okay. The executive draft language for the contracts policy. The executive director, CFO, or relevant executive with responsibility for a contract, the contract, will inform the PNB Coordinating Committee for contracts concerning national units or network-wide contracts, or the local station board for contracts concerning local stations to be signed by local station executives, of the intent to develop, establish, or enter into new contracts at least 14 days before taking action on such contracts. The policy shall apply to contracts for which any of the following apply. Standard employment contracts, union contracts, insurance contracts, contracts addressing intellectual property and or distribution rights of programming produced by Pacifica or using Pacifica's facilities or to be aired or distributed by Pacifica. Standard affiliate contracts, contracts with contracts aggregate annual amounts over a specified dollar amount. And there's a question whether 50K. Excuse me?
As you're reading it, this is the legal formal motion. So put in with.
Okay. Contracts with aggregate annual amounts over a specified dollar amount. Question whether what that should be. The coordinating committee for contracts concerning national units or network-wide contracts, or the LSB for contracts concerning local stations, shall have authority to request PNB review prior to execution of particular contracts if it feels that review or approval are desirable or necessary. The coordinating committee shall have the authority to assign review of the contract to other committees of the board. Since the policy concerns oversight of the power of the executive director and or CFO to execute contracts, the ED and CFO shall recuse themselves from any vote of the coordinating committee on whether to request review and approval by the PMB. The National Finance Committee shall be notified of all contracts for annual amounts over the specified dollar amounts prior to the signing of the contract. The intent is that the policy shall apply for standard contracts when such contracts are created or altered, but such review is not required for each execution or renewal of the standard contract with each particular party. This policy applies to the review approval process for contracts. It's the intent of the Governance Committee in collaboration with the Administrative Council to develop further policies on the contracting process concerning issues such as competitive bidding, documenting needs or rationale for the contract, et cetera. So I think it still needs a little work, but is there a motion to accept that, what was just read, and then we can discuss and amend it?
There's a note at the end.
It's not in there?
The note at the end is not part of it. I'll read the note. It's, this policy as written does not cover grants, given that grants typically are a commitment to execute a particular project, we may want to extend the policy to cover grants. And we can add that during discussion, but the motion is what was just read. Is there a motion to accept that?
I motion to accept that. This is Huckum.
Thank you, Huckum. Okay, so discussion.
Just a quick typo on the note. It says executive, a particular project should be executed.
Right.
Where is it?
I'm going over it line by line to... Give me a minute.
Yeah, it's in the note at the end, Arpal. Note this policy as written does not cover grants.
The
grants typically are a commitment to execute a particular project, not executive.
Mary Berg, I have a question.
Go ahead.
under the policy issue by a contract, and then there's the list of six standard employment contracts. Does that also include like consultants? I don't think it does. So is that, where would that be covered? Consultant contracts, or it, are you?
My intent with that is if we have a generalized form that we use for unpaid staff, I mean for paid staff that aren't part of the union. We might want to specify consultant contracts, but on the other hand, you know, it's a question, do we have standard consultant contracts or not? And if not, do we want to have every consultant contract reviewed?
Well, you have aggregate annual amounts, but supposing there's a one-time consulting contract that is over whatever dollar amount we come to, would it be covered?
Well, that...
in the language, you know, aggregate annual amounts, that I don't know if it would be covered
there. Well, if the single amount is for more than that, then it would apply.
Okay. Because I think there should be some amount over which we would want to look at those.
Yep. Yeah, we need to decide on what that amount would be and specify it, but...
It would be included in number six, you're saying. Okay.
Yeah. One of my issues is whether there are some contracts which we automatically always want to require approval of.
Mm-hmm. That's another.
And the other thing is that this language is written doesn't include the need to provide the text of the contract. It just says notify you of the intent to develop it. There's also an issue with, so I think that they should be required to submit via email to the relevant committee the text of the contract prior to its execution.
Mm-hmm.
And the other question is, if you have to have a meeting in order to take action to do something like require approval, then if you don't get it in time, it's sort of moot, right? Because you can't, there's a notice requirement for the committee, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So one way that could be dealt with was by making more of a time lag. The other is to just require approval. Like, I certainly think that union contracts and intellectual property rights contracts should absolutely require approval. That's my own opinion. What do other people think?
This is Lydia.
Yeah, Lydia?
This is Lydia. I mean, I have never, ever heard of a nonprofit that has a board approval for its union contract. That's a... the staff and management and the union negotiating prerogative. So I would find that highly irregular and intrusive and cumbersome, and I don't believe that we're even electing boards that are qualified to go there. But anyway, again, that's my opinion. In terms of the overall, I think it's a wonderful draft. But I think it's definitely a draft work in progress. There are several.
As soon as you leave her.
Hakim, could you mute yourself? *6, Hakim, to mute. Go ahead, Lydia.
Okay. So I think we've long needed a policy in this regard. But I really think it needs to be thought out. More importantly, I think that we need to get more input from boards, from the local boards. I think there needs to be more overall discussion on the PMB and the various units of the foundation. I see some problems. For example, I think that there needs to be a recourse because our boards, like it or not, are still extremely politicized. And so that's one of my objections in relation to all of this. And so in order to achieve a political end, they might thwart a particular process in relation to contracts. And so what is the recourse? Let's say there is a difference between management and an LSB on the furtherance of a contract, then there needs to be a mechanism built into this where then that claim can go to the PMB. It seems extremely elaborate for certain things, but the other thing is that I don't think even as a draft
we should approve anything until we have come up with some figures for it and then, again, float it for input so that we know we're even in the ballpark for that. But in terms of a great starting point, I think it's a great starting point, except for, like, the two major issues, no labor contract. And the other thing is a recourse when there's a conflict.
Okay, one of the things that I just want to clarify about the policy is that what the LSB is being given authority to do is request that the PNB review and approve the contract. So the LSB, as it's written, neither the LSB nor the CC have the power to say, no, you can't do this. What they have the power to say is, before you do it, it requires approval by the PNB.
Okay, and I'm not sure that that's
Chair.
Enough in there.
Mr. Chair.
Yeah, who just spoke?
It's R. Paul, point of personal privilege. I'm having a really hard time hearing people speaking. There's a garbled audio coming in that's overpowering the speaker sometimes.
Could everybody who's not speaking mute themselves? Star 6 is a toggle, and you can mute yourself with that. That sounds better already. Is that okay, R. Paul? Okay, so Lydia, go ahead. Were you finished?
Okay.
I guess she's muted.
Sorry,
so
I had to unmute. No, I just said then maybe we the language needs to be a little bit clearer or it needs to be stressed. But again, a great start.
Okay. Further discussion?
This is Bob.
Go ahead, Bob.
Okay. I agree with some of what Lydia said, and I have some other concerns as well. I do think, you know, there's elements here that are useful, and clearly we do need an overall policy on contracts, so I'm not questioning that in general. But I fully agree with her comments about labor contracts. I also am unfamiliar with any other nonprofits that have the board of the organization have to pre-approve, or even if it's left optional, that in some cases they might pre-approve a contract. I think it really risks completely upending the whole labor management negotiation process, and it's disrespectful to both sides, to both the union's right to negotiate in good faith and to the faith that supposedly the board places in the managers to do their jobs as managers and then to be reviewed after the fact if they're found wanting, but not to kind of get into the nitty-gritty of, you know, what's going to be allowed for this section of the contract and that section. So that's on that issue. On other forms of contracts, I have a lot of concerns about getting into the micro details of management to a degree that first of all, has the risk of hamstringing managers who want to get things done. They need a computer repair contractor. They need whatever. And that because one persistent board member is able to persuade the local board to recommend the national board look at it, then the whole thing's on hold. And, you know, it's just going to be a nightmare. And I think this is going to help to drive away good people from management at Pacifica overall. I really am worried about that. Again, I've never heard of such a sweeping policy as this. And so I think the distinctions have to be made between really major contracts that chart new policy territory that a board has a right, you know, like obviously something like the Democracy Now! Contract clearly has to be approved by the PNB. And I'm not saying that's the only level. It doesn't have to be at that, you know, quantity of dollars, but something, you know, that really raises a lot of fundamental issues. And the other thing is in terms of even when you say, Dave, in your draft, that the version that the contracts that have already been approved as a format don't have to be reapproved if they're just, you know, filling in a different person's name, like let's say hiring somebody to be an on-air host or whatever. But suppose there's a change for that person. That person negotiates, they'll have flex time, or that person negotiates, you know, that they get an assistant producer or whatever the case may be. So then again, every time that kind of thing is negotiated, then management has to allow a period for the board to weigh in. I just think it's the wrong way to go, and it's totally unnecessary. The legitimate concerns can be handled through defining a cutoff And, you know, below that, management should manage. And just the final thing, I want to agree with Lydia's process point that this needs a lot more both research in terms of other nonprofits and discussion among the units of Pacifica, the local and national management, local and local boards, the unions, and all the other kind of players should really have a chance to thoroughly review this before we rush into forging a permanent policy or even a temporary policy.
Yeah, I have a number of comments in response, but since people are muted, I'll wait until people can get off mute and ask to speak.
This is Sandra from Houston. Can I get on the stack, please?
Yeah, and can you give us a time check? How much more time do we have on the item?
We've got about 5 more minutes, I think. Hang on. Let me look again. No, we've got 8 minutes.
Okay.
Mary Bird would like to be on the stack. You could go ahead.
Could we have a motion to extend this by another 10 minutes? Because
I'll
move
to extend, Mary Bird.
Okay. Is there any objection to 10 more minutes on this item?
No,
okay,
that takes to 3:15 Houston time.
Yeah. Okay. I'll wait another second because people need to get off mute, so I'll wait another second to hear if there's an objection.
No. Dave, this is Lydia. Can you put me on the stack?
Okay. So I have Sandra, Mary, Lydia, and myself. Go ahead, Sandra.
Okay, I'd just like to weigh in that I agree with the points that were made by the previous two speakers. That it's the document right now, as I see it, is a good jumping off point, a starting point, but it really does require further research. And the I'm not sure who made the statement about because the boards are so politicized that this could be used to pretty much, you know, hogtie manager from any one of the signal areas to prevent them from getting anything done. We really need to look into that, and that's all I have to say.
Mary?
I was just wondering, there's nothing said about that this is just simply for the financial impact, so I have concerns about the employment contract, too. And I wonder where the issue, there's a potentially explosive issue of unpaid staff organizations and whether that would be in here or not in here. If these are going to be excluded, then I think they should be specifically excluded, union and possibly whether the unpaid staff, I don't know what we want to do about that because that only comes up for certifying membership, you know, for voting. But I don't know if that's supposed to be in here or not.
Okay. This is Grace Aaron. Can I be on the stack? Sorry.
Yeah, and Lydia, do you mind if I go ahead of you since you and Bob are sort of speaking in similar ways and I'd like to respond to some of those things?
I'd prefer it.
Okay. The question about the, it's what do you do if there are detailed changes in the case of individual contracts can be solved easily by specifying either that, you know, contracts that depart from that just be provided. The whole point is for the board member and the board members and the governance structure to understand the nature of contracts. And for example, Bob, you talked about the confidence of the board in their executives, but there's really no way to be confident in your executives if you're not privy to what they're actually doing. I don't have any problem with not having an approval process as long as there's an adequate notification process so that people actually see the contract language. But this is where you define the structure of your institution. Mm-hmm. And if what you're saying is you should hire an executive and they should be able to define the structure of your institution, I think you've sort of undermined the point, what I take to be the point of democratic governance. Now, the objection to democratic governance is always inefficiency. Just as a case in point, we've spent 18 months now just to get to this point. The reason I joined this committee this year was because last year's committee didn't move it. And we have other things that have not been moved. And I don't think it makes sense to, you know, have a governance structure that doesn't deal with political questions of the structure of the institution. Now, you don't want to paralyze the institution, clearly. So I take the point, the manager should have the authority to go ahead. But the board really does need to see what kind of relationships they're getting into. Things like insurance contracts. We have an insurance policy now that I've had access to that has some real problems in it. that are a problem. And there are times when the contracts that executives are signing, there may be divergences of interest between executives and boards. So it's very important that the board does see this. And I'd hope that, you know, the experiences that people have had of polarized boards don't make them essentially want boards not to have any meaningful power. Now, I appreciate that people said, well, it's a good start. And I do think that, you know, we may need another cycle. But I hope there's a commitment on the part of the committee to actually do something on this and put something in place. The question about, oh, if they want to hire somebody to do something, they don't, you know, want to be constrained and have to go through this whole huge process, we can handle that with a dollar amount. I don't think it's appropriate to have, hold on a second, I'm trying to get the language. I don't think it's appropriate to have, you know, some of these objections delay our work. I think that there should be alternate proposals to try and deal with them. And, again, I don't mind waiting another period of weeks, but one of the things that happens in Pacific is people raise objections and then, you know, process objections and then nothing happens. And so I'm going to ask that the committee really, I'm happy to send this out to the executives. Again, I note that we didn't get the courtesy of a reply from the interim executive director or any of the managers other than Eva Georgia to the email that was sent a week ago about the intention to do this. What the national board did in Houston was we approved a programming policy in spirit and said that we would be implementing it in January to let people know we're really going to do it. And I hope that we take that approach with this and that, you know, concrete objections of the sort that Bob raised get put in as language motions. And just to reiterate, as written here, there is no approval requirement at the moment for any of these things. One other point. If there are contentious issues, let's take them out rather than use them as a reason for not acting. If there are places where there's consensus, let's start there. I think the intellectual property rights questions are absolutely crucial. You know, executives are defining our contractual relationships to the rest of the world. As far as I know, there's not a board out there, national or local, that actually knows the content of any of those contracts. Lydia, and then Grace.
Well, I happen to completely agree with the notion that we need to know what contracts are in place. There's no question about that. To know something, to be privy to it, to be notified about something is one thing. Timelines in terms of the notification can get kind of tricky, although I do think we should be notified, but approval thing is a whole different ballgame, and as you said, that's not part of this notion. I still believe that we can come out of here with a concrete proposal to have a this draft circulated for the next 30 days, which would allow all of the LSCs, and all of the LSCs, I think, are on this call. Well, DC isn't, right? Is DC the only one missing? I think that PNW is the only one missing from this call.
Bakum is here.
Oh, okay. And so anyway, and so that every LSC, one of us should assume the responsibility to make sure that it gets put up for discussion at your LSC so that resolves that. We get input from that. Another effort should be made to circulate it to the various units. And I'm saying this after we have given some input today as well, modifying this a bit. And so I'm not saying stop it indefinitely or anything like that. I think that we want to see something, but we want to make sure that we have input. Otherwise, we're just chasing our own tail. And we need to come up with those amounts, because if the amount is high enough, that actually resolves the fears of a whole lot of people that we wouldn't be micromanaging, and stress the fact that this is an approval, but notification, which I'm very much in favor of is notification. And in terms of what I think it was Deb that was concerned about the consulting fees, is because in terms of employment, I happen to know of cases where the board has approved a particular project but are unaware of what ultimately gets paid to the consultant mm-hmm. that carries out that particular project, which I personally think, had they known, they would be alarmed. So that becomes very important in terms of including consultants in there. But again, just to be made aware of the things above a certain, you know, reasonably high amount is sufficient. We don't even have the capacity to micromanage anyway, so thank God.
Right.
But anyway, that's my comment.
Could you recommend a number, or just so we have a concrete number? I put 50K in there with a question mark. Do people think that's too high or too low?
I'm thinking.
I think it's too high. I think it should be more like 25,000.
Okay. Well, Grace, you're next. Why don't you go ahead?
Okay. I have a question, and the question is, can you think of a union contract that the boards would want to oversee? What aspect of a union contract would need to have board oversight?
Well, I can answer quickly. There was a talk before that there can be no provisions of a union contract, for example, that contradict the bylaws.
Uh-huh.
But there are other sorts of things, like, for example, when the whole takeover thing was going on, they were renegotiating contracts where they were trading improved benefits for reduced protections on removal for on-air hosts and things like that. Those are issues that, you know, are things that boards should know about.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not talking about needing to know things like, you know, vacation pay policies or any detailed stuff like that. But when you're talking about what are the rights of workers and what are the rights of management in determining what happens in a station, I would think that's a pretty important question.
Okay. I'd like to ask Lydia, besides that one point of union contracts, is there any other alteration you would make in this proposed proposal?
No, I mean, not off the top of my head. And by the way, I'd go along with Dave's 50K. And but I think that my greatest concern is that we need to get more input, because there are just things we haven't thought of in relation to contracts, and in particular from the unit managers, so that they don't come after the fact and come up with, you know, legitimate concerns. But the union contract is something I feel strongly about. And in terms of saying even the issue about the bylaws, of course, I think that everyone working on that should be familiar with the bylaws. But our bylaws right now are extremely flawed, so so you have to be, like, really careful to have that hold up medical benefits and everything else in terms of moving forward with the contract. So, again, these are issues that need to be more fully discussed. In principle, I am very strongly in favor of knowing what some of our larger contracts are about. There's no question. But not approval.
Mm-hmm.
To stop something ahead of time, to slow anything down. But definitely notification is fine, and a respectable dollar amount. And 50K sounds okay for me right now.
And I have one other question, if all can indulge me.
Okay, but before that, Hakim, is that you, or can somebody else mute themselves with somewhere where there's a lot of background noise? Go ahead, Grace.
Okay. Without needing approval from either the local board or the national board, and just having to notify those boards, doesn't that leave doesn't that put a lot of power into the general manager's hands?
Mm-hmm.
And also, isn't it demanding from any general manager? A tremendous amount of understanding in a lot of different areas. I think that even though having the board ratify a decision, an important decision made by the general manager or the management of the station is cumbersome, it's still, I think, necessary. And I think it's poor policy to put too much power in one person or just a few people's hands, some of whom have a conflict of interest.
Mm-hmm.
As do board members. So
So,
Hold on a sec, because we're running out of time, and I want to ask if anyone else who hasn't yet spoken wants to speak to this. Grace, were you done?
Okay, I'm done.
Okay, is there anybody else?
Well, I have spoken to it, but if I would like to ask another question, but if...
Okay, well, Lydia, why don't you respond, and then Mary, and then I'd like to respond, and then we're probably going to need to dispose of it, because I think... How much time do we have, Sandra?
Maybe she's muted.
Okay, while she unmutes, can you go ahead, Mary?
Okay, we have 7 minutes left.
Great. Mary?
Oh, okay. Yeah, the notification thing, I think, is really crucial, and I think... We have a situation where, I wouldn't like to put a dollar amount on, I don't know, for just being notified. The approval, I agree, is different. But now that I'm seeing this, I really want to go ahead with this. As I say, we have a situation where contracts, they might be small, but they might set a precedent that is, you know, that we're never informed about at all. And a lot of things go on that we're never informed about. And I think I agree with Grace that can be very dangerous, that we have too much power concentrated in the hands of maybe somebody who, and then after the fact, we find all these things out. So I would like to somehow implement this or begin to, I don't know, I certainly don't want to, I agree with you, David, I don't want to see it fall into any kind of, you know, hole or anything. I think this is really important. And I also think that the unpaid staff agreements ought to be part of that, just for notification, that's all.
If I can just say, I think one way we might handle this when we have to dispose of it is to table it until the next meeting, or postpone it until the next meeting. But with a provider, we will notify, I'll send it out to the unit managers and to the ED, and note that we intend to pass the contracts policy. It's our intention to pass it at the next meeting, so we get down those pieces that are not, you know, that we can get consensus on, and so that we make it clear as with the programming policy, because, you know, the reason that we don't get a courtesy of a reply when we send those things out is that people don't think that anything is ever really going to come of it.
Right.
And I think that, you know, if we'd had a contracts policy like this in place, contracts like the decision strategies contract, people remember, you know, the hiring of essentially a firm to spy on people, other kinds of contracts which were signed, the rehiring of, the hiring of Fulbright and Jaworski and Williams and Connolly during the resolution of the law firms, which cost the foundation hundreds of thousands.
Right.
This is an important protective. I hope we can do that, and a significant dollar amount can help prevent it from being unworkable. Lydia, did you say what you had wanted to say?
No. To responding to Grace, I think that it's critical to have, in addition to the input that I have mentioned, is to have a process by which we experience notification. We may then, after a year of notifying and having a real handle on the kinds of contracts that we're dealing with, and I suspect that most of us are ignorant in terms or minimally unaware of what kind of contracts are necessary to keep the stations going, that once we have that under our belt, there may be some types of contracts that we then decide to say we would like to have pre-approval, the insurance, for example, is a case in point. If you're on the PMB, you may also want to know what kind of insurance is passed for you in terms of that has become an issue. You know, so there are certain things, but before you do that, I am always very wary when I come into, like, anything new, the first thing I want to do is soak it all up. So what I'm saying is what we are woefully lacking here for a whole host of reasons that we don't need to go into is knowing exactly what contracts have been approved and have been going on. So the notification I have no problem with right now whatsoever, and it's some approval of certain types of contracts may be reasonable after we have had a decent period of time to assess what is out there.
You share?
By the way, I just want to say that there were contracts. We had a notification policy that we passed at the same time. We said that the governance committee should work on this, and it has been violated. There were significant contracts signed, and I don't believe the PMB was notified of many, if any, of the contracts that were signed since we passed that policy.
Well, then maybe there should be, like, a mechanism. What happens if we aren't notified?
We can deal with stuff like that, but, increasing the complexity all at once actually undermines your ability to do it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I think that as a general, a policy notification is one thing. Approval is totally a different conversation. But the most important thing is that we don't have sufficient input here to really carry this forth in a meaningful way. And I think it's up to each one of us. If all the signal areas are represented here right now, we can talk to our LSV chairs and speak to our LSVs. We should get off the phone today and send off an email asking that this be added to our agendas for the next meeting.
Okay, well, with that, I think maybe we can do that. And if I may be given permission to adjust some of the grammatical errors in the draft, include a 50K number, and add a couple of notes as to the nature of this discussion, then I can send it again to the executives and to the committee and ask that all the committee members send it to their LSBs with a note that we intend to act on a policy at our next meeting.
Dave, this is Ted. May I just say one quick thing?
Go ahead.
I would like what Lydia just said to be a motion that the members of this committee forward this matter to the LSBs for discussion at the next LSB meeting. Rather than it just be an informal thing, I think it should be the vote of the committee.
Okay, well, once we move to postpone, then why don't we do that motion? Is that okay?
Any way you want to do it.
Okay. Dave, before you do that, this is Serena.
Yep.
I would like this sent to the Administrative Council. I know we're talking about the same people who've been addressed individually, but ask them to actually discuss it as a body, because I think there are varying levels of experience among the management locally and nationally, and it would be good to sort of have them field each other's questions so that we actually know that what we're getting represents maybe not a unified opinion, but certainly a broader understanding than any one manager may now hold.
Okay, so you're saying in emailing those people, request that it be discussed by the council,
right,
or the administrative council. Okay.
This is.
Go ahead, Bob.
I'd like to add to that also to send it to all unions for paid and unpaid staff throughout the network for their comment.
I don't know technically how to do that. So you mean ask that the managers transmit it to them?
Sure.
Okay.
Just to weigh in, it's time on this topic.
Okay, so do you have a motion to postpone till the next meeting of the Governance Committee?
I'll make that motion, Mary Bird.
Okay. Is there any objection to that motion?
Dave, I just think it's to postpone with the admonition that this matter be forwarded to those groups that we just talked about.
Okay, the motion would be to postpone, and that the chair, requesting that the chair of the committee, which is me, send the draft language to the general manager, to the unit managers and the ED, requesting dissemination to the unions and indicating that it is our intent to act on this policy at our next meeting, that we request input and we request that the administrative council discuss it as a group.
I would second that.
Dave, it's Bob.
Yeah.
All right. I realized that it's not gonna, it may not work perfectly have it go through the managers, because that's an extra step. I think each of us on this committee from our signal area should know what unions our station does or doesn't have. And
that's a good idea.
We can take responsibility to give contact information to you as the chair so you could directly tell those unions.
I would prefer not to be given that additional responsibility. If you look at it in organizational terms, the executives are supposed, as we just said, are supposed to represent the board in discussions with the unions. So our asking them to do it should be enough. The fact that we all recognize it may not be enough and it may not happen is a sign of a problem. But if we're dealing as a committee, we're sending it to our executives who are our representatives. I think the committee members should absolutely forward and make sure that it goes to each of those people.
This is Leah.
Yeah?
Can you Let me ask, is there a sec?
Go ahead, Lydia.
Okay. Okay, I have concerns about sending it to the union. I don't know how many union reps are going to want to get into the internal machinations of an organization in determining, you know, what it does. I don't know that it belongs there. I mean, I object to it.
Lydia, this is a public discussion on a public meeting, and our consideration of it is public. Bob is a member of the unions asking that all the union members have at least the opportunity to weigh in. They have a mechanism through the union and through their representatives. So I don't think there's any.
You're
objecting to what exactly? To asking the managers to forward it to the unions?
Well, I don't know that, you know, I'm just saying, I don't know that that would be that useful. I think the preliminary discussion about whether to even include this has not even taken place at the LSBs regarding the issue. It may be a moot point. It has to do with our internal organization. I don't know that the union rep is going to say, oh, I don't think that you're bored, or I do think that you're bored. I mean, telling an organization what to do in terms of its board, I don't know that they would go there.